Good morning. It is Wednesday. This is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live here in the Kia studios. Mike, Bo, and Tiff, as usual. Good morning.
Morning, Tiff.
What's going on?
Oh, not much.
Mountain Dew this morning? Is that the equivalent of coffee?
Yeah. Well, it was a half drink yesterday, so I brought it in here because I figured I'd finish it and get some caffeine this morning, yeah?
Well, it is diet Mountain Dew, so it's got zero calories.
No, it's a diet Mountain Dew, so it's got 5 calories. Zero Mountain Dew Zero's got 0 calories.
Whatever. I mean, 5, 0. What's the difference?
I don't know.
Zero Mountain Dew is a thing?
I didn't even know
Mountain
it was
Dew zero
thing.
Sugar. Yeah,
I didn't know that was a
thing.
Oh,
zero sugar, but not. Well, then
I thought you were talking about calories.
I just
processed
that. I don't know.
I'm confused.
Sugaries.
That a boy. Sugaries. Get it together.
Calories and sugar. I'm gonna tell you something. Don't count calories, count sugar, because sugar turns to fat, and your body stores it, and it's a lot harder to get rid of. I'm living proof. Look at me. Alcohol sugars are the worst. So you should put, I mean, just listen to me. I know about these things.
We should start
I'm
every
certified.
Show with you taking a hard look in the mirror.
Mm. Oh, man, we are 6:03. We already started.
Wow.
6:03. Goodness, we already started. Ding, ding.
I'd say
round one.
You know what?
He set it up. How am I not?
I just wish I wasn't the only one on this show that could look in the mirror and be honest.
Oh yes.
Dialogue. Buckle up.
I might have to start refereeing. I might have to start blowing the whistle.
Ding, ding. Hold on. What's he doing? What's Stallone doing? Well, I'm probably the only person that's even seen this movie in this room. But what's Stallone do at the end of Rocky? I believe 3. When him and Apollo are at the end of the fight,
I've seen that
and he
movie.
Goes,
it's just been a while.
He goes, ring the bell. He goes, ding, ding. I love it.
So oh, ridiculous. Man.
Speaking of which, the bell was rung last night. Freddie Freeman walks up there in the first inning. I mean, this blank, and I say those endearingly, is on fire. You talk about being in the zone. 4 home runs. In 4 games, it's actually 6 home runs in 6 World Series games dating back to when he was a Brave. Dude is 5-for-16 with 4 home runs and 10 RBIs in the World Series. The Dodgers lose last night. Yankees extend at 1. It'll probably be the gentleman's sweep, as they call it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I would expect them.
For the Dodgers.
I mean,
brutal.
Yeah,
they punted last night.
They
didn't even try.
Well, look, they had them on the ropes. There's no doubt about it. The Dodgers had the Yankees on the ropes, and that grand slam that was it Volpe hit. That changed, and I think it was in the 4th or 5th inning. It might have been in the 5th. I can't remember. I was watching it 3rd inning. I was doing something else, and it kind of changed it. That was kind of the game with who they started. That if they gave up one, that was all right. But the play that I want to talk about real quick, and I definitely want to get your opinion on this, Tiff, or your thoughts, or because you're on a field and you're near a crowd, but Betts goes to catch a foul ball down the right field line, and he catches it. He catches it. His glove is in the crowd, and one fan. Starts grabbing his glove, and his buddy, or the guy next to him, yeah. Mr. Sunglasses at night, grabs his arm, and then the other guy starts raking the ball out. Well, he's wearing sunglasses. It's 8:30 at night.
Oh, man,
and,
that's funny.
Starts that's, raking yeah. it out, and they rake the ball out. Now, it wasn't out. Did not see them physically leave the stadium, but I am going to go ahead and assume, and whatever I read, that they were ejected.
Yeah, they were.
But this is not just egregious. This is, you are never allowed to come back to any Major League Baseball stadium ever.
Ever.
To me.
Yeah.
It's the biggest stage, Tiff, other than a Game 7 that you can have. And you physically...
You put your hands on someone.
You physically... By the law of the land, you physically assaulted someone. I know that you didn't hurt Betts, but... His arm's extended and you're grabbing and pulling on it. I don't like it one bit.
Just don't touch people. When I saw it, I was shocked that this is something that actually happened. It's one thing to try to reach for the ball because you see people just react and do that. But to physically put your hands on someone and grab at his arm as you're trying to pull this ball out was ridiculous. But I agree with you. I think they should be banned from all baseball stadiums. Just the look on their faces, it's like they weren't even – you can't be thinking you're doing something like that.
You know what's funny? As a guy who grew up a Cubs fan, I'm sitting there going, can we put Steve Bartman to bed now? Can Steve Bartman just hit the back burner? It's been 20 years.
These people are
was way worse than Steve Bartman.
The Bartman thing, so it goes back to the kid, and his name I think was Jeffrey something, but he's
– Jeffrey Mayer.
Was it Mayer?
Yeah, you're talking about Yankee Stadium?
Yeah. Against the Orioles, I think it was 1996. And he reaches over and grabs the home run ball. I think it was Tony Tarasco was the guy, I think, that was going to catch it for the Orioles.
You're right.
Yeah. Well, I remember him because he played for the Braves at one point.
Yeah.
And it changed that series, I think. I think it was Jeter is the one that hit it.
Had some good players in the 90s.
And you think about that one, right? And then you fast forward 8 years later.
Yeah, it was
04.
04, yeah.
Pretty sure it was 04. I remember because I'm pretty sure that was either the day my sister got married or like that she got married during that series.
Oh.
No, she got married during the Braves Cubs that year.
Well, yeah,
and that was the NLCS.
Yeah.
It was actually the game that I think Kerry Wood just dominated the Braves in Atlanta.
Yeah, he hit the home run. Mm-hmm. He hit a home run in that game that won the game.
So you go forward to game 7, Tiff, of that 04 NLCS. Or was it game 6? Was it game 6? I think it was game 6 because they could put them away and then the Marlins came back and won.
Was game 6.
That's my memory. See, smart. I'm not known to say sugars and calories in the same sentence, but yeah, right? Nobody's ever called me that.
So yeah, shout out. That's a third of your life.
That ball was even more in the stands than this than this one that Betts caught, and it was just what any fan does. This ball is in the glove, and this guy grabs the glove, and then his buddy holds onto Betts' arm while he starts raking the ball out. And they looked like they had been drinking since 8 a.m. And then taking some gummies or something.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy, too, is there were – like I was reading a bunch of tweets last night from people that were there or writers or whatever, and they were like, yeah, there was fans, Yankees fans, that were saying, hey, nice job. Like, you're a hero. You know, it's a championship game. It's no holds barred. And I'm sitting there going, dude, if they would have overturned that catch, like you'd be under federal investigation from Las Vegas gambling places. You know what I mean? Like you just can't do that, man. It's just unbelievable. The whole thing was unbelievable. The glasses guy at night, man, that was funny. I don't know how those people see anything.
It's Alex Rodriguez was villainized for knocking the ball out of the glove when he's running down the first baseline.
Yeah.
I think it was against the Red Sox in that game. That might have been the whatever year they won, 03, I think. Was it 03 or 04?
I actually think the Steve Bartman thing might have been 03. Now that
it might have been 03. I think you might be right. Yeah. And then 04 was the Red Sox. But anyways, regardless, it doesn't matter. It's all around the same time. But it was just – that's way worse.
It honestly reminds me of, do you remember the Red Sox were trying to invite Bill Buckner back a few years back before he passed away? And a lot of Red Sox fans were kind of tweeting or posting like, hey, we forgive you. Come back. You know, we forgive you. And like his wife was like, no. This ain't how this works, man. You don't forgive him. He's the one that needs to forgive you. It was a freaking baseball play. You don't forgive him.
They ruined his life.
You ruined your life.
Yeah,
but on the flip side, these two last night, I'm not ready to forgive them. I hope some bad comes their way.
First off, they don't deserve forgiveness because they haven't apologized. But secondly, it was a malicious act. The Bartman wasn't. But you know, all that said, did you get to ride the Peloton yet?
All right. How about them Braves? No. Not in the morning, but I'm riding in the afternoon. So
riding's riding. Right? It don't matter when you ride it. I mean, I did the Stairmaster yesterday. It wasn't in the afternoon. It was in the morning, but I still did it.
You still did it?
I did.
So it counts.
You did the Stairmaster before the show yesterday?
No, I did it after the show.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Before lunch, but after the show.
I was like, dang, dude, good for you.
Yeah, I'm trying to lose some of those sugaries that I've put in my body.
Yeah. That's a goal for all.
Those are sugar calories if you're not.
We're all trying to do those things.
You just joined in.
Yeah.
Sugar calories?
Yeah.
What are you calling them?
Well, just the sugaries.
Sugaries.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a Squidward.
The Squidward.
The Squidward.
All right, this hour you brought like that, to see? You by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. When we come back, trades are being done ahead of the November 5th trade deadline in the NFL. And what is the biggest threat the Cowboys pose to the Falcons? That and more coming up here on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back here on The Morning Shift, and trades are going down ahead of the November 5th trade deadline. So the Ravens agreed to trade for wide receiver Deontay Johnson from the Panthers. So they have agreed in principle to trade for Johnson pending a physical, the team announced. The Ravens will send a fifth-round pick to the Panthers for Johnson and Carolina's sixth-round selection. The Panthers had two teams interested in Johnson per a league source, and the Ravens came in late within the last week. And then just one more for you. The Vikings acquire left tackle Cam Robinson in a trade with the Jags. In addition to Robinson, the Vikings receive a conditional 2026 seventh-round pick that can go away based on playing time, while the Jags received a conditional 2026 fifth-round selection that can become a fourth-rounder based on playing time, according to sources. Robinson, 29, is in the final year of a contract that pays him $16.25 million this season, and the Jags will pay a portion of the remainder of Robinson's salary.
Yeah, Mike, I'll let you talk about the offensive lineman. I'll tell you one thing. Deontay Johnson bounces around for the main one of the main reasons he bounces around like he has or he's starting to is because he has problems getting along with people, mainly because he never stops talking. He apparently
you left it open for me.
Well, I know, but my job is to talk. His is to play and talk when he does something, not talk after every play, no matter what. He also irked some people in that building apparently very quickly, is the reports. It's not surprising because honestly, I think that's why he's not in Pittsburgh, because I don't think for any reason Mike Tomlin would have got rid of him if he could play and do the things they want him to do and keep his mouth shut.
I agree.
He could only do one of those and play. And I don't think he's a bad player.
No, we've seen Tomlin handle the likes of, you know, not even going to bring up his
the name, worst so. Of the worst. Yes. Let's just put it that way. Yes. As far as attitudes and the way they behave.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And it's funny because Pittsburgh's in the market for a wide receiver. It's like, well, yeah, evidently they didn't want that guy. Cam Robinson, look, man, big fan of his. Obviously, when he's in college, he's had his ups and downs, man. He's had you know, suspensions, things like that. But he's a good player. I don't think he's elite at this point in his career. He's too inconsistent. When he's ready to roll, he can roll. So I think, you know, he's got that going for him. I'd say he's bottom third starting left tackles in the league. I wouldn't take him over Jake, but he's still a good player. Got all the tangibles. I should say, and got the measurements and can get it done. So it's a good move. I think he's been a leader for that team. I'm pretty sure he's a team captain down in Jacksonville, and he's a gritty player, man. So hopefully with a little upside, plays a little grit and gets it done. But
he might have the intangibles as well. Don't sell him short.
Well, yeah, I don't want to. But, yeah, we'll see what happens.
All right, well, when it comes to the Falcons and Cowboys this weekend, what is the biggest threat the Cowboys pose to the Falcons? And if you're looking at it, maybe you're thinking about the defense and the pressure they may try to put on this offense. It is a concern for Coach Raheem Morris, and so he stressed the importance of the defense needing to get off the field, their defense, and their offense sustaining mistake-free drives.
You can't stop people from scoring points, especially when it's your team. But what you got to do is you got to get off on third down to help the time possession so you can give them more clicks at it. You got to have the ability to maintain drives and not get yourself some of those penalties that we got the last couple of weeks. Not specifically yesterday, we were to overcome some, but the week before, when you get those ones, you just jump off sides or you get the false starts, whatever the case may be, to make you get off the grass. But you want to have your time of possession swing better into our favor, and it has, like it did in the second half yesterday.
I love what he's saying there, man, because that, to me, he said get more clicks. I don't know if y'all caught that part, but I think there's a lot to be said about that. And when you have to make adjustments offensively, right, when you have the cerebral quarterback that the Atlanta Falcons do right now, guess what? You're going to have times when you go out in a drive specifically to start a game and you say, man, I wasn't expecting that look. I thought we were going to get this, and we're getting that. We have to kind of go back to the drawing board. What plays work best against that front, this personnel, this formation? And so for Raheem to say, hey, we got to get out of the field because we got to give the offense more clicks, That's beautiful. I mean, that's football 101. Give them more drives. The more times we can have possession on offense, the more shots we have to go score points. And also, when your offense is already clicking and you're going down and driving, much in the way that happened this past weekend, you can go get ahead by a couple possessions, and then all of a sudden the other offense starts pressing. So I love what Raheem has to say there. I think makes a lot of sense. And honestly, it's pretty good insight into kind of the way they think about things defensively.
Well, I wonder now, it makes me just wonder if they're going to play a little bit tighter. I think one of the biggest issues is playing how the depth they play in the secondary. I think it hurts the pass rush. Look, I think you got to win quickly as well. You don't win immediately enough as far as your pass rushers, but it also goes to stopping the run game. And to me, the one thing this Cowboys team can do is pass the football. They're not very good in the run game. In fact, they're the worst team in the league in yards per game and yards per carry through seven games. They've played seven. They had a bye week already. But they're third in yards per game passing. Now, they're dink and dunk. They're only averaging like 6 yards a pass play or a completion, whichever one you want to go by.
Yeah,
it's by the play because of, you know, how passing goes, but that's not the best. So they're also not very good in the red zone, which now sends me back to the fact, well, maybe you do continue to play the way you've played and let them go down there and let them kick field goals all day. I that's been the trend, but I don't want to put myself in that situation.
I got to tell y'all, though, I don't necessarily want the secondary at this point to hug up anymore on the receivers. I think it kind of takes away from what your overall goal is, because if I saw this pass rush getting close to getting home, like if they were falling down at the feet or just missed it by just a count, or, you know, we're hitting the quarterback but not getting the sacks, I'd say, you know what, we can take a chance. We can hug up a little bit more. We have started to run a little bit more man coverage, by the way, ding. But I don't want them to hug up anymore because our pass rush ain't even close right now. So if all of a sudden we're hugged up tighter and you see double moves and they get down the field, and your pass rush still is not getting home 5 seconds into the play, then we're going to get hit with explosives. And look, the mark of our defense right now is not getting hit with explosives. So I'm with you. I think it would probably lead to more sacks, but we're also taking a lot more chances. And at this point, I've seen nothing out of the D-line that leads me to believe that that's going to be the, you know, the course moving forward.
Now, we're traditionally not a team that sacks the quarterback, right? I mean, it's fair to say.
Yeah, that's
sounds terrible
when you say it.
It's
depressing, but yeah.
It's an unfortunate reality that we have to mention. Now, Dak has three passing touchdowns against us in his career and six rushing. However, you have sacked him 11 times in four games, and it's one of his higher sack rates. In fact, he's played Detroit more times, got the same amount of sacks. Played Green Bay four times, got the same amount of sacks. He's played New Orleans, has gotten there more in the same amount of games. Actually, they've gotten there. They've gotten there more. They've gotten there 12 times, the same amount of games. And New York's gotten there. So my point is like, you have somehow, some way, some shape or form, as a team that doesn't rush a quarterback well, gotten him down. So maybe he's a guy that's going to hold it long enough that you will get there. I don't know. Maybe but this is a different defense, so it's hard to say.
You've really liked what you've seen. In fact, we all have really liked what we've seen from the Falcons' run game so far this season. And so when it comes to trying to, you know, go up against this Cowboys defense, Raheem Morris, he talked about how special Bijan and Tyler Allgeier are.
Like, I think he's special. You know, I compared him to, like, Christian McCaffrey, right, of people I'm going against. So, like, every time he does something, I'm like, in wow mode with Bijan. You know, at least Kirk, I got a sample size of it and being with him and knowing what it can look like. But with Bijan, it's different. Same thing with Tyler. You know, Tyler's giving me wild moments. Bijan's giving me wild moments. Our ability to run the football in certain games give me wild moments. And yesterday, having the ability to run it for, I think, 120 or something in totality for the team, where it could have been even bigger with a couple less penalty calls. Man, I mean, I'm really impressed with what we've been able to do with those guys. And it goes back to the front, too, you know, talking about the line and just all the things they've been able to do.
Yeah, I'm impressed, too.
Another 100-yard game last week, all-purpose, over 100 yards for Bijan. Allgeier, he did have the fumble, which I don't want to put 100% on him. I don't think it's on him. This is the worst run the second-worst run defense in the league coming here in Dallas. I mean, they're allowing right at 155 yards a game. I actually think you can do part of what Raheem said in that first cut that we heard about keeping the other offense.
Drives.
Yeah, I think you can do that by just pounding the football down their throats, because I think you can. And I don't know if DeMarcus Lawrence, he's out still, I believe. We don't know about Micah Parsons. We're going to get word on him today about where he's at. He did practice some last week. He didn't play last week, though. Like, I think this has been a good offense at finding what you don't do well and exploiting it. Zach's done a phenomenal job with that. I think you might – this is ground and pound, baby. Let's run – hell, let's run the wishbone if we have to. I don't care if Kirk's in there. We saw
– Don't tip me with a good time.
Let him pump fake. He did it last week.
You know what I mean? Hey, inverted wishbone out of pistol. Don't tempt me with a good time. All right, I'm here for it. And I'm with you, man. Here's the bottom line. You know me, dude. We could walk in here 10 times out of 10, I would say, you know what? Need to run the ball. Need to run the play action. Need to allow this offense line to be aggressive. And I'll tell you this much on the flip side. Dallas's offensive line does not look comfortable moving forward. Like, I've been watching their film, been watching their tape. They, for everything that it seems like Tyler Smith does well at left guard in pass protection, it's hard to watch at times in the run game. So value that, right? If you're a Falcons fan, value that your offensive line loves moving forward, loves falling on their chest, is trying to get downfield and clean things up, because you're about to see a team come in here that is making a lot of money up front that really hadn't played that way. So I'm with you, man. Run it down their throat. See if you can build off that. Maybe, you know, look, man, since Kirk is so fleet of foot now with the 13 rushing yards last week, maybe get him out on a bootleg. You know, I don't even know. I don't want to get too crazy, right? I don't want to get too crazy out there, but a little half boot, a little waggle, something like that. Get that ball down the field, man. But I'm talking about let's go for about 250 on the ground. Let's do it.
Let's dive into some college football headlines on the other side. Which ACC quarterback has got his groove back? We'll discuss that and more when we come back on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Big games on deck this weekend with the Georgia-Florida game going down, and Coach Kirby Smart for the Dogs, he gave updates on the availability of some of their top players, one being their starting right guard Tate Ratledge, who for the last four games has been out after he sustained a knee and ankle injury. He had tightrope surgery on his ankle. He was able to dress out for their win against Texas. Here's Smart on an update on Ratledge.
We're hopeful. I mean, we think he's going to be able to give us something. He worked some last week, took some reps, did rehab over the weekend. Hopefully he's raring to go. I mean, I know he wants to play in this game. It's really important to him.
I think he just needs to sit another week. I think he needs to get healthy. I don't think there's any reason to rush this.
Right.
I think
you guys don't need him to be Florida.
I think Tate needs to be healthy for the stretch run, starting with Ole Miss, because that's a road game. It's in the afternoon though. So, hotty toddy, right?
Yeah, that tightrope. 4 to 6 weeks, man. He's on the front end of that. So hats off to him, the work he's done, because I know they want him back ASAP.
Kirby Smart also gave an update. Thanks for telling me to turn my mic on. on the defensive line side of things and the progress of junior Michael Williams. He suffered an ankle injury in Georgia's season opening win against Clemson. And so they are hopeful to possibly be able to get him back soon as well. So that would be some good news as they go in to face powerhouse in the Florida Gators.
I know what you're doing there, and I don't like it. That team knows where they're at. They know what they aren't right now, and I don't think they need to be reminded.
It was not a shot.
Did your voice get a little scratched there, Bo? Did you get a little emotional? A little touchy?
Like it. I'll say this. This rivalry is one of the weirder ones in college football, because it's not a back and forth. I mean, like Alabama dominates Auburn year in and year out. It's like every ninth year Auburn maybe jumps up, or every fifth year or something. Now, they're close games. They're good games. But Florida-Georgia is one that goes in runs, and a lot of times those runs equal blowouts. I mean, Georgia was dominated in the 90s and early 2000s, most of the early 2000s, by Florida. And since Kirby's gotten there, he has flipped the script, and he's dominating Florida and Georgia. And just like Georgia dominated the rivalry in the 80s. So,
yeah, Hey, anything's
their run. It's their turn.
It's possible.
It's their turn. Let them have
anything's, it. Look how Clemson's turned things around this season. They're looking for their seventh consecutive win. And they take on Louisville, who, by the way, Coach Dabo Sweeney did say this is the most complete offense they've faced since Georgia. Now, one thing working in their favor is their quarterback, Cade Klubnik, who's really turned things around this season. Their offense, by the way, for Clemson, they come into this game basically averaging, 490 yards a game, and the Cardinals just behind them at 460. So this is going to be a high-powered offensive clash, but really Klubnik has been leading the way for that group.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to say about Clemson because it's been a while since we've talked about them being high-powered offensively at all. Like, I don't think they've been even near the top 50 in the last couple of years. In offenses. So, look, I think Cade Klubnik's doing a few good things with his legs recently. It seems like he's starting to really get ingrained in the system he's been able to run there over at Clemson. And I think it's a good thing, man. He's got all the talent in the world. And obviously, Clemson's kind of hitting on all cylinders since that opener.
Go ahead.
I was going to say it kind of has to do with as much as getting familiar with the system as it does what the defenses are bringing at him and his recognition of what they're showing and what they're coming at him with. And he hasn't played the stiffest competition at times, but this is a team that struggled against the lesser teams for quite a few years, and he is, including last year. So good for Cade Klubnik because he's been phenomenal lately. I know you got some numbers.
Yeah, he's completed 2/3 of his 219 passes for just over 1,800 yards with 20 touchdowns and only 3 interceptions this season. So that is pretty impressive.
Attaboy.
Right there. One guy who's looking forward to his matchup this weekend is Ohio State's Will Howard, their quarterback. He's looking forward to maybe taking it to the team that rejected him in the recruiting process.
I'm stoked. I cannot wait. It's going to be a homecoming for me. I grew up a Penn State fan. I wanted to go there my whole life. They didn't think I was good enough, but I guess we'll see next week if I was.
Let's go.
Wow.
If you could, just to give you a visual or describe what he looked like at the podium when saying this, he looked like someone that's got a vendetta out.
Now,
it was like the, what did he call it? The villain origin kind of thing.
Villain origin
story.
That's great and all for him, right? But correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Drew Aller, who is the quarterback at Penn State, grow up in Ohio?
I think you're right.
And he actually, Medina High School in Ohio. Now, I know that he's banged up, and he's right now he's a game-time decision is what they're calling it. But Will Howard might not be the only one with a little chip on his shoulder to face the hometown team, so to speak.
I'll give Will Howard this much, man. With all the talent he's got around him in Ohio State, his numbers are immaculately better than they were at Kansas State. And, he is a super senior. He's doing a lot of good things. Ohio State, and you said this yesterday, I hate using the word eye test. They're not passing the eye test for me right now. There's something kind of off with the way that team is playing with the amount of talent they do have. So I'm with it, man. I like the quarterback chip on my shoulder drama stuff kind of going into a top four matchup this weekend. I hope Drew Aller gets to play, and I hope that he faces off with Will Howard and they can scheme it up and give us everything we want to see this weekend, man, because that's a special game. That's two teams. Penn State's just got to be hoping they get over the hump against Ohio State, right, man? Penn State is just built for this playoff, are they not? Like, it's time.
They are, but that also means they're going to lose two games. Because
that's fair.
Because, this is a team that loses every year. It feels like two games to Ohio State and Michigan. And I don't think that's going to happen this year with Michigan. Have they played Michigan yet, or do they play Michigan? I have to check. I feel still college Bible, but the Ohio State is on the schedule, and this is a big game. Ohio State needs to win this game. They need to win this game.
Needs to win this weekend. Army needs to win this weekend. That is where I will be for my college football game. They are taking on Air Force and Army, the 21st team, 21st ranked team in the AP Top 25. Their offense has been just ridiculous. They're looking for their 11th straight win, and they're averaging over 450 yards of offense a game.
I'm rooting for them, man.
This is going to be a fun one.
Quarterback is phenomenal.
Need to be on the sidelines for.
Is it Dyson Daniels? Is that his name?
The two for the Hawks.
What did you want?
What is his name? What's the quarterback's name? I had it.
No, here's what I'll say, though. And I was talking about the Army. When Navy played Notre Dame last weekend, I am so about these service academies right now at this era in college football. Like, I'm so about them because they're not, it's so much different even than it ever has been, right? So it's just, I love cheering for them, man. They're doing it the right way and they're playing for the right reasons, in my opinion. So I love it.
I wasn't going to let you flounder, but I'll give you a chance to.
Bryson Daly.
There you go.
That's his name.
What did you say?
I called him Dyson Daniels.
The two for the Hawks?
Well, I had the D and the B in there, and it was a Bryson or a Dyson.
You made me have to pull up my notes again because I was like, have I been saying.
He's
studying the wrong name.
He is a baller. He is an absolute baller. I watched him play. I cannot believe I called him Dyson Daniels.
It's just funny. It happens. We all have brain. Look, my brain doesn't work half the time. So
if somehow you're Bryson Daly's family and you're living in Atlanta, I apologize, dear. I watched him play that game that I picked the over for them, and he was you're gonna have fun watching him. I'm telling you. You're gonna love watching him, Tiff. He is phenomenal.
We got meetings on Fridays. Looking forward to that, and then of course we'll get to talk to Air Force on some Zoom calls, actually today. So, this hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. When we get back here, we'll get you set for the Falcons and Cowboys this weekend. On the other side of the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.